Now, I'd like all of you to push yourself in all things spiritual, push yourself. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, you know, at your age, you should not always remain juvenile, spiritually juvenile. And I've seen this after years in the recovery. Physically, you have grown up. Even physically, you're bearing certain responsibilities. But spiritually, you act like you're in high school. You're some college kid in the church life. And that is altogether wrong. You have to push yourself, just like you push yourself in the human realm, to advance, to grow up, to bear responsibility, to do things, to contribute, and not always be on the receiving end. So in this matter of fellowship, even giving testimonies, do not give routine testimonies anymore. Or this kind of programmatic, easy, you know, just spouting some recovery phrases that you know, Sunday by Sunday, whatever. See, today's fellowship was a little better because there's really that spirit-to-spirit and heart-to-heart touch. Amen. We need to go deeper. Amen. And I will say something more about that later on. It's time. You are 25 and above. You are 30 years old. You are 35 years old. Even in the world, you are not a kid. You are an adult. And you should bear adult responsibilities. And your speech, your behavior, your attitude should all reflect that. Okay, I will say more about that. So this is to help you to enter into this 30 to 50 years age of service. All right. In the end, it's not just about telling you what to do. It's about who you would become. That will automatically bring you into that service. More than anything else. All right? Your burden should be deeper and not so shallow. Okay, brothers and sisters, just like this this morning, it was very good. Please come up to say something according to a deeper level of sense and feeling. Okay? Just like this morning. Okay, come up. How about, brother, because you have spoken already, give the chance to some others who have not shared yet. Okay.
Yeah, in 2012, when Brother Minoru first came for the Young Adults Retreat, he did speak about this type from Numbers. And I remember at that time his speaking about our being fighters and being priests. But last night and this morning, I just felt like the word went higher and deeper. It was quite a fresh word again. In a sense, we have those of us who were in 2012, we heard this word, but yesterday it was just a lot fresher, a lot deeper, and a lot higher. In one way, in some ways, maybe in the past 4 years or 3 years, the Lord has brought us on higher with Him, so that we can receive this higher and deeper word. Amen. I just want to give a testimony as a confirmation that this word is really from the Lord. Amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, a brother and I at our workplace, we just had lunch. It was on a Friday. And so after lunch, we fell to pray this Friday item out of the 100 days of prayer. Amen. Which was on the saints in the various age groups, sisters, the senior saints, the middle-aged saints. And one of the phrases was that all these saints will be repurposed for the Lord. As we were praying over that item, this word repurposed just was full of anointing. And we just had the sense that as we were praying, then we started to have the sense that, Lord, if our lives are not centered on the tabernacle, then our lives are not have no purpose. Amen. Our lives are purposeless if they are not centered on the tabernacle, Amen. Which is Christ and the church. Amen. For some reason, when we the more we prayed that, the more we just sense the anointing. The Lord wanted to impress us with this matter. So today and yesterday when I heard the word again, it was such a confirmation. The Lord wants to impress us with this matter.
Amen.
That we are here to have the tabernacle,
Amen.
To have the testimony of God,
Amen.
As the center and meaning of our existence.
Amen.
Without that, our lives, you can be fighting all you want in the world. That fight means nothing. The real fight is when you are formed into an army,
Amen.
With the testimony of God, with the ark and the tabernacle,
Amen.
As your center.
Amen.
And I was reminded that in 2012, when we had the conference titled The Prayer and the Lord's Move, I think one of the messages was that it's to pray at the incense altar until we are formed into an army. You know, recently in the Labor Day conference, the burden was on the matter of prayer. But if you look at in Exodus chapter 30, the first 10 verses were on the incense altar. But then the next 6 verses was on the expiation silver, all the males 20 and above have to be ransomed with. So that ties to the numbering in Numbers concerning the forming of an army. So the spiritual significance is that the more we pray, we are praying for the growth and maturity of the saints,
Amen.
So that they can be formed into an army.
Amen.
It's not a small thing that we are gathered here this weekend.
Amen.
In the sense we are at the midpoint of the 100 days, right? Tomorrow will be the 50th day. But at this point, I just felt that the Lord is speaking to us.
Amen.
He's not just speaking to us to pray. We are not just praying for our spirituality. We are praying that the Lord will gain His testimony.
Amen.
He will form us into an army.
Amen.
And especially the saints in this age group, 30 to 50. You know, I just felt that the type, the picture is just so clear. You know, without this, you know, the type in Numbers is that the saints, the priests, are those within this age bracket, 30 to 50. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
May we rise up to pray,
Amen.
That we can be formed into an army,
Amen.
For the Lord's move on the earth.
I was very touched by a brother sharing this morning. I'm very touched by this matter of the markers. That means we need to consider our life. Brother Lee, in his life study, saying that our life, it's like money, right? Like we're spending it. As we grow older, we're spending our money. And we don't have too much time in our life. When we're in the 20s, we think we have a whole lot of time coming, you know, coming ahead. But it goes by very fast, right? You know, you get married, you have family, kids, and before you know it, 50 is looking at you. And I'm saying in a personal way, a brother shared that he started serving when he was 30. And I started serving when I was 30. I left my job when I was 30. And now it's been more than 15 years. And when I look back, you know, this is really the prime of our age.
Amen.
Why this waste?
Amen.
Well, because it's altogether worth it.
Amen.
I mean, what else? As I look back, I have no regret. I don't know what else I can do.
Amen.
What else better? Nothing better. So I just feel that, you know, we need to grab the opportunity.
Amen.
The Lord is speaking to every one of us.
Amen.
You know, we still have time, but time goes by very fast.
Right.
We need to really offer the Lord the best we have.
Amen.
And when we are young, the best is our age.
Amen.
What the Lord will, you know, direct each one of us, we don't know.
Right.
But I really thank the Lord that we are here. at least we can be open to him.
Amen.
So that he can speak to us.
Amen.
You know, there are not too many people in this on this earth the Lord has a chance to speak to.
Amen.
The brother talked about the man-child. I don't know if we are man-child, but we want to be the man-child.
Amen.
We want to be the overcomers.
Amen.
So thank the Lord that we could be here. So blessed to hear this word.
Amen.
We are really here to, you know, listen, to heed his calling.
Amen.
You know, may he speak to each one of us.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm so happy to be here, saints. I was fellowshipping with Terry. I don't know how to respond to such a call. Within me, there's a stirring, there's a kind of a burning, I guess you could call it, regarding this age group. I'm 30. My wife's 30, so here we are. And in our locality, which is very small, we've been kind of in the center of the service there for at least 6 years now. And so I feel like I'm 30. I'm legitimate now. Yeah, here I am. So I feel like this word is such a kind of a turning.
Amen.
Now is a time to not serve in an old way, a routine kind of way. Even according to my small church mentality. But through the fellowship and also through the trainings we've been having once a month, I've been realizing not anything specific, but that I need to be just open to the Lord speaking.
Amen.
As Brian was sharing, I had the kind of recalling in me, our service to the Lord is also our listening to the Lord.
Amen.
And of course, with the church life, you need both Mary and Martha. Without Martha, there is nothing practically happening. You know, without Martha, how could we leave our children and come to the meeting? On the other hand, we do need to have an open hearing of the Lord.
Amen.
Or we will miss his speaking and we'll miss his burden.
Amen.
So I'm just so open at this point, just open to the Lord. What are you having for us, Lord?
Amen.
For this age group to rise up. And I know there's a need, and I know this from Job. We're reading through Job, and you can see this one who's very good, very upright, turns away from evil and so forth, but he misses God's intention until he's dealt with. So here's this one, here's God, and Satan is allowed to freely roam. This is God's enemy, and he's gone unchecked, basically. So then he gets judged and destroyed by Christ. Right, but this sentence needs to be carried out. And as Brian was mentioning, the overcomers are the ones needed to carry this out.
Amen.
So he's still left unchecked, essentially. He roams and he touches each one of us. And I've been so touched with this battle that's every day.
Amen.
There is a warfare.
Amen.
If you don't know that, you already lost. And basically, I'm so encouraged. Now there's this speaking. It's very clear.
Amen.
There's the need for us to rise up and fight this battle.
Amen.
You know, we're called by Brother Lee the backbone of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
If you don't have a strong core, you can't fight at all.
Amen.
You're out of the fight.
Amen.
So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was really enjoyed and think that it was true that from about the 1970s onward, the church life has been in kind of a bunker mentality. And that has definitely affected our culture and how we act in the church life. But I really appreciated that the testimony is something that can move.
Amen.
The tabernacle is something that can be picked up.
Amen.
And it's not a static testimony.
Amen.
But the testimony is something that the priests can put their shoulder to and they can move further into the good land.
Amen.
So I just appreciated that. Although many of us have received so many positive things from, you know, all the time that we've been in the church life and we've had so many patterns and we have so many spiritual fathers, now we need to rise up as one man.
Amen.
Those of us who are in the 20 to 50 year old category.
Amen.
How many thousands of us are there in the United States?
Amen.
The Lord needs a change of culture in the church life in the United States.
Amen.
Not a bunker mentality, but a living, normal, and vital church life.
Amen.
In which our age group is really the backbone.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let us all rise up and be blended together.
Amen.
So that we can bring the church life all the way to the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
To deal a death blow to the enemy.
Amen.
So that the Lord can return.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I appreciated that our God is still fighting today.
Amen.
And that even today there is a warfare. I really appreciate that since with God is with the fight is against Lucifer. And even when Christ was on the earth, his entire life was a fight. From the moment that he was born, you know, there was someone who was seeking to devour him. And even as he was ministering, he was always fighting against the Pharisees, the scribes. He was always fighting against religion, against politics, against culture. So our Lord, while he was living on the earth, he was always in this fight. And then I also appreciate that Christ today is the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And he today is the victor. He even in his death and even in his crucifixion and resurrection, it was still a fight.
Amen.
In his death, he overcame, he defeated Satan. And in his resurrection, he overcame death.
Amen.
He overcame the one who had the might of death. So our Lord's entire life was a life of warfare.
Amen.
And today he is the life-giving spirit who's the victor.
Amen.
And even in our daily life, I feel we need to be one with him in this fight.
Amen.
Too often, I'm not one with him enough in this fight. In the prayer meetings, I'm not one with him enough in this fight. In coming to the church meetings, I'm not one with him in this fight. Even in my daily living, I'm not one with him enough in this fight. So, Lord Jesus,
amen.
I appreciate the speaking. Lord Jesus, may you really gain a change in us.
Amen.
That we wouldn't be so passive, right. Even in the church life today.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, really, may we be exercising our spirit.
Amen.
I'm so happy that we have this 100 days prayer.
Amen.
It's a reminder to not just pray in our scheduled times, but also to pray as we're working,
amen.
To stay in this fellowship with the Lord,
amen.
To refresh the Lord in this warfare.
Amen.
Even in our days, the Lord needs to be refreshed because he is still battling.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, really gain us among in Northern California,
amen.
To be one with you.
Amen.
Lord, really, may we be bold in our spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus,
amen.
We praise you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I really enjoyed the last 50 days of prayer.
Amen.
And it really showed me that, you know, when we pray to God, we shouldn't be praying man-centered prayers.
Right.
We should pray God-centered prayers.
Amen.
And today, I'm also really touched by the way that we need to see things and to change our living from a man-centered living to a God-centered living.
Amen.
And actually, so at my company, some brothers and sisters, we were going through the book of Matthew.
Amen.
And Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
And actually, in Matthew, it shows that, you know, when we are saved, we're not saved without a purpose.
Amen.
The children of Israel didn't cross the Red Sea so they can be idle. They cross the Red Sea so they can go to the good land.
Amen.
In the same way, we are all saved because we are baptized and we believe in the Lord.
Amen.
But it shouldn't stop there, right?
Right?
The Lord, even in Matthew, said he has a desire.
Amen.
And his desire is revealed in his prayer.
Amen.
And his prayer said, you know, your kingdom come, right? Your will be done.
Amen.
And what is his kingdom? How do we bring back the kingdom?
Amen.
Preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And what is his will? To build the church.
Amen.
And then... But then, like, you know, Minoru shared earlier today, there's a fight, right? With the kingdom, there's also the ruler of the world, Satan.
Amen.
And then with the church, there's also the gates of Hades.
Amen.
So we really need to fight. And we really, I was just really touched actually by the last chapter we read was chapter 23.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites.
Amen.
The Pharisees when I was reading it before, I always thought, oh, the Pharisees, these are the proud people who think they know God and they know religion, and that's it. But actually, I was really touched that, you know, we can even be Pharisees, because we might not see, you know, see things from God's perspective. We might see the altar, right? But then we still care for the gold. We're like, oh, we value the gold, but not the altar that sanctifies the gold. In the same way, when we live, should we wake up every day thinking, oh, Lord, I feel like every time I wake up, a lot of times I'm thinking, oh, what are some things I need to get done today at work or maybe after work? But then we need to change the way we see things, change our lens. Just think, the person I need to touch this morning is the Lord Jesus. And the two questions I really enjoyed, you know, I went to the college conference that the brother really encouraged us to ask the Lord when we come to him is, who are you and what shall I do? And praise the Lord, and may we continue to, you know, fight for a God-man, God-centered living. Amen.
So far this weekend, I've been very impressed that we are truly the Lord's army. I've heard this before, but it was impressed upon me again that, you know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt into the wilderness, only two members of that generation actually inherited the good land, and that was Joshua and Caleb. The rest of that generation was strewn about in the wilderness. So the ones who actually inherited the good land and drove out the enemies were the children of those who came out of Egypt into the wilderness. And I feel like that's really our generation's situation today. Very few of us saw Brother Lee personally, much less Watchman Nee personally, but we have been the inheritors of all that has been spoken and done. There's been so much that has happened in the Lord's recovery, so much that has been fought for experientially and in releasing the truth. And I feel that I am such a beneficiary of all that has gone before. All the brothers and sisters who have fought for us, who have fought for the truth to be released and to live out what they've seen. I was very impressed with this mentioning Brother Minoru had of Joshua 5:13. This is right before the children of Israel fight the battle of Jericho to get into the good land. And the Lord actually pays Joshua a visit. And he comes to Joshua as a man with a sword. And Joshua does not know who this man is. And he asks, are you for us? Or are you for our adversaries? And he said, the Lord said, neither, but as the captain of Jehovah's army have I now come. And Joshua fell to the ground upon his face and worshipped. And he said to him, what does my Lord speak to his servant? I appreciated Brother Minoru's inciting us this weekend to just be with the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord. And I feel for the first time I've come to the presence of the Lord with the realization that I'm coming to the presence of my captain. Amen. I am one of those numbered in the Lord's army. Amen. I was called, I was saved, I was plucked out of the world to be enlisted for this purpose. Amen. We are truly those who are numbered in our generation. Amen. And so what do? We need to sit before our captain's feet. And ask him, what do you want to speak to your servant? Even in Exodus 21, what is the first thing that the servant does is to bore his ear to the door. So all he can hear is the words of his master. Amen. In the same way, to be those who properly respond to the Lord as his army to meet his need today, we need to be those who are sitting before our captain's feet. Not being entangled with the things of this life, but hearing him and him alone. Amen. That he could lead us up into the good land. Amen. He has already fought the battle and the battle has been won. Amen. Even though we will see the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and we will actually fight them ourselves, the Lord has made the way for us. Amen. He's the captain of our salvation. Amen. We need to spend time beholding him and and being infused with him. Amen. Making us one with him to accomplish his purpose.
Amen.
I was really touched by the word, the formation of the army. I have been thinking that what makes an army a real army? What makes an army that real strong? So I think, of course, size matters, but I think more importantly, it's the oneness among this army. It's the oneness among these soldiers. Even, I think most of you have heard history story that a small army can win over a much bigger army. But why? I think there's one very critical thing is they have the oneness among this army. They have one heart, they have one goal. I think even for us, we should have this same practice. You know, the soldiers, they live daily together. They practice together. That's why they can have such a strong bondage. They can fight this warfare. I think for us, we also need to have this bondage among this group, between 30 to 50. Amen. I think we need this strong bondage for us to really stand up to fight for this warfare. Amen. As said in the Ezekiel, the bones, when the bones join together, they join together bone to bone. I think for us, we need to also join together hand in hand so that we can stand up to really be an army, not just the ones we come together. I think if we just come together and we are loose, we may not be able to fight. But once we are joined together and be strong, I think we can really have this fight for this warfare. Amen. Praise the Lord.
There's a verse in 1 Corinthians, and that would be chapter 16 and verse 13, where Paul, at the end of this epistle, said this, watch, stand firm in the faith, be full-grown men, be strong, all right? Be full-grown men, be strong. Well, that would be my burden this afternoon. I keep, like all of you, thinking about this age group, and I think we should actually say 25 to 50, even though the quote-unquote official age is 30 to 50, it's abundantly clear that it started at the age 25. Except from 25 to 30, it is the age of apprenticing, of being perfected and learning prior, or interning, that is actually a good word, before you enter into the official duty of being a Levitical priest. So 25 to 50 is really what we're talking about here. And for a long time in the church life, here and there, you see, I was involved with, to some degree, I'm still involved, but a little bit less directly, with the college work for decades, my wife and I. Then we were involved with the trainees in the full-time training, right? I always kid or joke that everyone graduates after 2 years. I still haven't graduated after 26 years. Still teaching there, like when Brother Lee was alive, as his helper. Still teaching there with wave after wave, group after group of, college grads coming to that training. Many of you are sitting here. Then, of course, I follow up with those who graduated from the full-time training, who enter into the workforce and got married and have kids and so on, until today. And so post-training, saints I also have a touch with. So I have the spectrum of exposure of all these age groups. And there's one thing that I observed, and that is something that I hope there would be a breakthrough beginning this weekend, at least with you. And that is the whole matter of growing up and behaving yourself as a grown-up spiritually. It seems that, as someone testified today, that especially those who grew up in the church or even some who are again of the campus, for a long time you were always the child. You were the one receiving help. You have three appointments with three full-timers who is very doting, very pampering, very caring. And that's what we tried to do at the campus. We took care of them like fine china, you know, lest they would break. And it seems the more we catered to them that way, the more they became that way. And it almost seems like they didn't grow up under our care. The care was very, very sincere, you know. But sometimes quite the opposite effect was there. Then you come to the training, for those who came to the training. You know, the training is a gigantic greenhouse. No rain, no storm, no snow, no hail. You're just in this pretty greenhouse, constant temperature at 72 degrees, constant humidity at 85. And by the way, I still hear people complaining about that in the training. It's a greenhouse. Everything is done for you. Even the sandwich is halfway packed for you, you know. It's just to put on some meat or something like that. It's done. So I would say the training is also a very pampering experience. And by then you're already 24, 25. And then you come out of this training and you enter into the church life and you say, how come nobody cares for me? Nobody cares for me in this church. They're so cold. They're so uncaring. Do you see something wrong with this picture? That has almost become a kind of culture. There's a kind of expectation on the side of those coming up or growing up ones. Now, I would not, of course, supply this to everyone. I speak this in a general way. Now, I'm afraid that even you may not say that word, nobody cares for me, but in your heart, it's that way. Nobody cares. Nobody visits me. Nobody takes care of my problem. Well, you all know children think that way. Young kids, youngsters, they think that way. Why? Because at that age, they are self-centered, they're self-concerned, they're self-absorbed, and that's sort of part of youth. We also know that in human history, in human society, well, let me add something more to this case that I'm making. And that is a certain older generation, myself and older, I'm still already the baby boomer generation who had it good, relatively. But my older generation, half and a full generation up, are people who've been through World War II. And some today don't even know what's World War II. They've been through the Depression. You don't know the Dust Bowl. The 30s. When little kids like this have to what? Have to suffer, have to work, have to do things to make ends meet. It was a rough life. They live with deprivations. They live in poverty. The hard scrap life that they knew. And somehow, after the war, prosperity came in the 50s, the suburban life. And so a new generation came up. They have not been through those hardships. And the older generation would always want to make sure that they don't suffer like they did. So they did a lot to take care of them. And in so doing, they became somewhat pampered. Now, I'm talking about even my generation and later. And then you keep going to the 70s and 80s. We have kids growing up whose parents just want to make sure they have, quote, self-esteem. So grades are inflated in school so they feel better about themselves. They really is a C, but they say you got an A because self-esteem is very important. You're supposed to feel good about yourself, whether it's truthful or not. Self-esteem. So we have actually built up in society a certain younger and younger generation who are somewhat not living in reality. I wouldn't say they live in fantasy, but they have certain kind of expectation of people caring for them. The handouts, the lack of personal responsibility, and so on and so forth. And so we have a nation of childish, juvenile, pampered people. Who quite don't know how to handle the things that are thrown at them, which is part of life. And apply spiritually in our church life, somewhat there's a bit of a mirror of that. I do not say this as a condemnation. I do not say that, but I am an observer of society, of culture. You know, today, the number of people are on prescribed medication is unbelievable. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a study that came out that half or more of people taking antidepressants are actually not clinically depressed. It's just the easy thing to do. Take the pill. I don't know what people did before those medicines were available. Now, I am certainly not saying there's not a place for this, right? There is true illness or certain kind of disorder, certain depression is a very real thing. I certainly am not here to belittle that or to be judgmental about that. I hope you won't take me that way. These are very real situations, and I personally have to deal with many of these cases in the church life. Even some very, very severe situations. Makes your heart break. But I am saying observing. I'm making a certain observation as a kind of a sign of how soft people have become. Now, you combine all these things together, you would see where I'm going with this. By age, I would say, you know, 18-year-old, you're not only qualified to vote, you're also qualified to join the army, okay? Or should the draft system be imposed, be drafted. And I tell you, nothing makes a man grow up as quickly as in a battlefield. I've not been there, but I read plenty, and I know people who have. The soldiers are just 18, 19, high school graduates. The second lieutenant through West Point, still, what, 23, 24. And here, they're in charge of life and death decisions. They grew up very, very quickly. They have their buddies to look after. They have mission to carry out. No question asked. They have to become extremely resourceful to face those life and death situations. There are people who lose their parents at early age, at a very young age, they have to become parents. And I'm not saying that's normal. I'm not for that. I'm just making a point. I would say, brothers and sisters, the age 25, 30, and so on, you are not young. You are not young. You are an adult. The burden of a family should be upon you. Marriage, raising up children, doing a job. The burden of society should be upon you. Of society. You just don't go around behaving like a child, like a kid. You have to grow up. I would say, possibly, such kind of culture have stalled the growth of many a saint, who by their age, they should be bearing a lot of burden in the church life. But because of this kind of mentality or this kind of culture, whatever it may be, they are still on the receiving end. They come to the meeting expecting someone to prophesy, and they would enjoy it. When you come, do you come like that to a prophesying meeting? Or you come with a heavy burden on your shoulder? I have to come to feed the dear saints. even in the training. I tell the trainees, dear trainees, I said, grow up. Just grow up. Grow up quickly. Well, be a full-grown man, brothers and sisters. I know there are some senior co-workers, there are saints who are your patterns, they are fathers, they're this. But let me tell you, their number is dwindling. Who is going to assume the responsibility in this household of your church? You're still looking to Don Mangold, who's been here since the 70s, who is himself approaching 70. Oh, the older brother, he has the riches, he's responsible. So up to today, Don Mangold is still bearing the responsibility in Berkeley. Not that he's doing a bad job, that's not my point. My point is, this is not normal. Some 30 some something should be coming up. Some 30-year-old should be coming up to begin to learn to bear the burden. And Don will help you. Don will perfect you. Don is more than over 50 years old, according to this. Where are they? There's one here, one there. I say, where is the generational change of guard? That is so normal, so organic in a society, in a household. We need all ages. We need the senior saints. Desperately, they have their role. We need those 50 and above very much. They are a blessing to the church with their experience and maturity. But my brothers and sisters, today, if your generation would rise up in that way, I tell you the whole recovery will be different. We'll be in a different recovery. But somehow, subconsciously, you may still be telling yourself, I am not ready yet. I only have been here for about 30 years. Since childhood all the way to full-time training, it's only 20-some years. I'm not yet ready. There's something very wrong with that picture. It's wrong. By age, you should be bearing the primary burden in this household of God. And so 30 to 50, they are the ones who are assigned to care for the most important thing of God on the earth at that time, and that being everything related to God's testimony in that tabernacle. I feel there's so much with this matter, so much has to do with the mindset, the concept that just can play with us or deter us or, you know, we all live our life according to whatever's in our concept. If I'm thinking I'm a kid, I'll always be a kid. Now, I'm not advocating you become prematurely senior or old or act like that. That's ugly, you know. That's not cool, okay? But even if you're at your age, at 30, at 25, it's an adult demeanor, an adult's deportment. At 30 plus brotherly called us to become his co-workers. Can you believe it? He is by that time, how old? Almost 80. And here I am, this whippersnapper, wet behind my ears, a co-worker of Witness Lee. I tell you, Brother Lee works this way. He has expectation on you, and he will not let you go. I will testify to this personally. And he worked on me. He worked on other brothers too. But let me tell you, he worked on me. Like not letting me go. No excuse. No excuse. He will suffer. No excuse. He put the whole burden on me. At that time, the Chinese-speaking work. You brothers remember. And he turned over his podium to me, speaking to several hundred saints older than me, even some who have heard probably Watchman Nee speak. Now I have to speak to them. That's why I say I feel they all have a scorecard, you know. And I gave you the testimony of how Sister Lee perfected me. Not Brother Lee, Sister Lee. When we would go to Brother Lee's house, Sister Lee would do this. By the door. You know the old house at Ball Road? There's a courtyard. I know what's up. Minoru, don't make a joke like that in your message anymore. Stern, with a stern face. This is not Brother Lee. This is Sister Lee. Nothing is a game. Nothing is play. Everything is for real. And I have to learn quickly. I have to grow up quickly. Because of the measure of burden, whether I like it or not, is dumped or laid on my lap. The last thing I want to do is to be unfaithful to that. And that makes you grow up in a big hurry. How old was I? My early 30s. So I know, brothers, what a 30-year-old can do. My, you should be bearing the burden of a whole church. You should be bearing the burden of a certain work of the Lord, rather than hiding in, you know, some back row somewhere, showing up when it's convenient. You can just dash out when you want. No need to bear that burden. No need to be accountable. I'm talking about the church life. Dear brothers and sisters, this doesn't sound very spiritual, what I'm talking about. But let me tell you, this is my observation. If there would be just a change of mindset in these few thousand of this age group, the whole recovery would be revolutionized. I am not inciting you to rebel, to revolutionize, to take over, to stage a coup. Ambush the eldership. Of course I'm not talking about that. If anything, you're on the other extreme. Unaggressive, less than burdened, because you don't think this is yours, this is your burden. Now, actually, I have one more thing to say. And so maybe we can then would be with the sisters. Now, exactly what we're talking about, this service of the Lord, this 30 to 50 year old, you know, Levitical service. We've decided that the 20 year old and upward is a general fighting, right? That we all are involved in. We all should be involved in. And that would be the job of these tribes that are surrounding the tabernacle on the outer ring. Then you have these households of Levites calling to their families that are on the inside ring of the tabernacle. You know, sometimes I was thinking, why do they have to have an inner ring? Who are they protecting? They already have these camps out there protecting, you know, from the outside enemies. Why do you need another ring? In fact, these one-month-old, you know, babies, you know what they're protecting? They're protecting the tabernacle from Israel itself. Because that tabernacle is consecrated, sanctified, and be easy for the Israel people to come in, to desanctify it. It's a holy place. The holy place, the holiest of all. This is where God is. So the protection is not even to protect against some outside enemy, but against the flesh, against, you know what I mean, against some knowing or unknowing trespass and transgression. There's a kind of a protection there. Now, what were they doing? I told you already. Of course, this is a very full matter. I don't have the time. But they were handling all the things related to the tabernacle. I mentioned some, all the covering, some, all the solid supports, you know, like sockets and pillars and so on, rings and bars. And then there would be a third group that would take care of what? Of the utensils, right? So what are all these things? These are all types of Christ. All types of Christ. So to serve the Lord in this regard, to maintain the Lord's testimony in our service, the first thing, brothers and sisters, is that you would handle Christ. You would experience this Christ in all these aspects. And I don't say this, oh, now you're talking, I need to be spiritual. I need, no, no, no. I'm talking about you need to know this Christ experientially in more diverse and more all-inclusive aspects of this Christ in your own daily life. You know what it's called? That is called laboring on the good land. Underscore the word labor. You're not frolicking in the good land. You're laboring in the good land to make produce. So here are these ones that handle this Christ. Christ as the lampstand, Christ as the face bread table. Have you experienced Christ as the screen? Christ as the veil? Do you know those nine pillars, five in a row and four in a row, that are entrances into the holy place and then the entrances in the holiest of all? are eventually pictures of what we should become as gates for others to come into God. The experiences even of this, of the white linen, the screen, the four layers of covering, all referring to Christ in some aspect. All these things that you have to get into the lifestyle of Exodus, thank the Lord, I think this winter we'll start getting into it. The details of this tabernacle. Rich, rich. But not just to know them. It's time that you would experience them. At your age, yes. Not when you're 50 years old. But now. So Paul says that I may gain Christ. He was serving by gaining this Christ in his experience. That I may know him. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. All of these things, the cross, all these things are things that you must experience in a deeper way. And you must not say, oh, these are deep stuff. These are for 50 and above. No, no, no. Even in my 20s, I was burdened with this. I was laboring on this. Not very deep, not very mature, I admit. But I was laboring. Why? Because at the end of the day, the Lord's testimony is not in some mere activities. That testimony is Christ. But not the objective Christ, but the Christ experienced by us, testified by us. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And that is the church. And so it's time, and I am here to charge you, be full grown, be strong, eat the solid food. Come out of the milk stage. You should have been out of the milk stage a long time ago. Drinking the milk, pure milk of the Word. That's what you should feed your young, your new ones. You should be eating solid food by now. The Word of righteousness. And as you take in this Christ, as you labor in this Christ in this way, in your daily life, in your church life, you will live in a certain way. You will have this Christ to really minister to others. And that is what will build up the church. Amen. I'm so sorry today that in many instances, just reading two pages of the Holy Morning Revival is like the tops, the standard. I feel so sorry. I said, when did we have come to this? That just two pages and I'm a good brother. I have no more time. And even those two pages are hurriedly read. What kind of pre-reading is there? I don't know. But no wonder we don't have the depth nor the weight. You know those sockets? You know the sockets in the that you put the pillar in? You know, it's silver sockets. I forgot how much each one of those weighed. 100 pounds or more. Because those are the foundation to put this heavy pillar. Which pillar holds up these heavy covering? you know, the tabernacle. My, how solid is that? How about you? What kind of weight class are you? You featherweight? You heavyweight? To acquire this weight is necessary in our service as a priest, as a full-grown priest. Just an example. The incense altar, the prayer. What kind of prayer? What level of prayer? How deep is your prayer? Some, I say, still pray in somewhat of a juvenile way. They could not even pray long. They're just a few minutes, they're out of words to pray. The depth is lacking. Again, my brothers and sisters, I'm hardly here to point fingers or to, you know, to condemn you or something like that. The Lord knows, sitting here this morning, this afternoon, hearing the testimonies, I was so encouraged that the Lord do have some in the principle of Gideon's 300. He didn't need 22,000, go away, left with 10,000. The Lord says, Jehovah says, too many. I don't need 10,000. Take them to the water and see, make them drink and see how they drink. Those who kneel down and drink from the water, they're not needed. At the end, only 300 who would bring water like this and lap like this. And you should read that footnote. It will be very, very convicting what that means. Refers to the daily life, the daily necessities, drinking. But how you handle it makes the big difference. So I'm very encouraged. I'm very, very touched, actually, by so many testimonies. But I also see that there's so much potential, so incredible potential in the Lord's recovery. There are not too many Christian groups with this caliber, this quality of brothers and sisters. Really. This level of truth, this kind of a heart, not easy to find. It's not to boast about the recovery. This is the way. And many of you who have been to the full-time training, you are actually quite constituted with many things. But now is the time. It's your turn. Absolutely now is the time. Not tomorrow, now. For you to pick up the responsibility and bear it on your shoulder. Burdens sometimes are given, but in my experience, more times they are picked up. You say, nobody told me what to do. Nobody assigned. Nobody did this or that. Well, maybe you should do something. So the first thing is this experience of Christ for our service to Him. Now tonight, I probably will get into something more concerning the service, which has to do with the priestly service. What I just mentioned in type are the Levitical, right, service, which in the New Testament is still very spiritual concerning our experience of this one for our ministry of this one to others. In fact, all this is not for our spirituality, it is for our ministry. Amen. For our service to others. To sinners. To young people. to college age, to new ones at your jobs. We'll talk about that. And in many other respects as well. Offering up spiritual sacrifices. What are those spiritual sacrifices that these priests do? We need to find out. And that has to do with our what you should do from 30 to 50 years old. Now, I beg your pardon for always saying something not so encouraging. I'm this bad man that always is not satisfied. Well, wait till... Well, you cannot wait till... If you're with Brother Witness Lee, you will know what I'm doing is nothing. The pressure he put on us, the expectation he placed upon us. And you know what? You know what, brothers and sisters? I thank the Lord for that. Because this man, this brother, had hope in me. Otherwise, he won't even do that. He would just dismiss it. It's okay. Don't worry. No problem. He didn't do that. He wouldn't let us go because he had high hopes. I tell you, there's every reason to have great hopes in you all, that the Lord's recovery would have hope in all of you. But that doesn't come from easy pampering. That comes from certain expectation or demands, if you will. And I'm not saying I'm exerting this demand. I'm saying the Lord is demanding a lot from us. To more whom is given, more is what? Required. This is his principle. And I know, actually, you can do it. I have seen it. I'm still seeing it. But as one man, as an army, as a formed army in these coming days, coming years, that's what I'm really looking to the Lord for.